show you how this is done. Hold the glass up and examine the wine against the light. You're looking for color and clarity. Now, stick your nose in it. Maybe some strawberry. Oh, there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
When do we drink it?
Now. Are you chewing gum?
No.
Spit it out.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
You are about to participate in a great adventure.
All right, everybody, get ready for a blast from the past.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory. All the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. And yes, we have another great version of The Wine Crush lined up for you today. I realize it probably won't be as exciting as last week's show. We may not giggle as much. In fact, we have been very distinctly told by the president of the people who produced The Wine Crush that there will be no more drinking in the studio anymore. I think Kent got a little upset when we knocked a couple glasses of Chardonnay over and kind of made the board smoke.
I didn't report you. I didn't. I wasn't the one.
Uh-huh. You ratted us out. Go ahead and admit it. So today we are going to go back to our usual format, but we do have two exceptional guests to help us along that quest. First, we have Charles Smith. And get this, because you are loyal listeners of The Wine Crush, you get to talk to Food & Wine's Winemaker of the Year for 2009 before it even hits the stands. Yes, Charles Smith will be joining us. We also have David Honig. Now, this is different than Michael Honig and the other Honigs we've had on the show. David Honig is the publisher of Palette Press, and it is the first big website devoted entirely to wine in the sense that he's pulling wine writers from around the world to put their two cents worth in. Now, see, if it were a radio show, of course, he'd have to have my call leading the whole charge. But since it's press, we'll give him a little press of his own and talk to him later in the show. So that's what we have lined up today. There's no particular theme. There's just some interesting things going on. Speaking of interesting things going on, I will admit this. I have been very singularly focused for the last 6 weeks. My head's been in the sand. I've kind of been in my own little world. And it shocked me. I went out this weekend. It was my first weekend off in probably 4 weeks. And I had to go to the grocery store. Yes, I only grocery shop about once every 6 weeks. No big deal. But past that, I go in the grocery store. And there, of course, is all the Halloween candy. And it kind of shook me a little bit that we're already into October. And it was already Halloween. I was not prepared for what happened when I turned the corner. And they already had Christmas trees and decorations up. So, yes, indeed, we are fairly into fall, so our wine recommendations this week are going to reflect as such. This week, I am recommending Carmenere Reserve Cabernet. Now, to be very clear on this, I am not talking about Carmenere Dynamite. Carmenere Dynamite disappeared probably about 4 years ago. This is actually Carmenere Vineyards. For those of you who like Dynamite, understand that Carmenere was the vineyards, they owned the vineyards that made that wine so good. Their Reserve Cabernet, you can find it in your local Mega Mart for under $20. This is a solid, great drinking wine. For those days where it doesn't get over 50 degrees, nice, beautiful denim-colored sky, sitting on your front porch, having a cigar and a glass of Cabernet, this is the perfect match. Not that I would know about the cigar thing. You know, certainly having been focused on different things for 6 weeks, I am not smoking anything I shouldn't be. But yes, they are very, very good matches. So Carmenere Reserve Cabernet has great black fruit, has great ripeness to it, and it's not overly tannic. So it's very silky. It's good and smooth for this time of year. Has a nice hint of oak on it. So I think everyone, this is the true red wine lover's red wine without breaking the bank. So definitely look for that. Now, strangely enough, because I have not been paying attention to what's going on in the world, I realized with grave error and shock when I opened my refrigerator on Sunday afternoon to pour myself a glass of Chardonnay, I had none. And that is just ultimately traumatic. I don't think that's happened in my household in probably, I don't know, 15 years. But ultimately, I had to dig around my back pantries and cabinets. And I came out with a bottle of Nickel & Nickel Medina Chardonnay. It was a 2005 Chardonnay. For those of you who follow the Nickel & Nickel releases, they are on 07. Now, I am just as bad as you, my loyal listeners. I took one look at that label and I thought, 05, oh, crap, I'm not going to drink this. It's going to be old. It's going to be tired. I was in for a life lesson. I expect Burgundies to age. I expect some Bordeaux, Semillons, Rieslings. And I know we talk about California Chardonnay, like Farniente being in, to age, like the great Don Rison's wines being able to age. But this one I wasn't expecting. Medina is made in a young, very fresh style. It was one of the best Chardonnays I have had in the past 4 months. The extra 2 years in the bottle had taken the edge off the new oak. It was refreshing. It was good. It was caramelly. Is caramelly a word?
Caramelly is, no.
Okay. Well, it was
caramel-like.
It was caramel-like in flavor. It had some great toasty notes to it. So for those of you who have Chardonnays at home where you may or may not know whether or not to drink them, go ahead, pop the cork, taste them anyway. You might be as pleasantly surprised as I was. So nickel-nickel Medina Chardonnay, I'm sure that the 07 is tasting just as well as the 05 did, but we can use that as our lesson learned for this week. And like I say, any day worthwhile is a day in which you learn something.
But you had run out of Chardonnay in your house?
Yes, I had run out of Chardonnay in my house.
I have one tip for you.
Okay.
And this was passed along to me. When you drink wine, try using a glass instead of a funnel. You won't run out.
Oh, you're just so funny, aren't you? Here's a reason they keep a glass screen between the two of us.
I can't get hit by anything thrown.
Exactly. At least we know it won't be a cork for a while. So there's your wine recommendations for the week. Carmenere Reserve Cabernet, Nickel and Nickel Medina Chardonnay. Or to advise you to really reach out, and if you have old Chardonnays, give them a shot. Now listen, I usually like to do my strange news of the weird kind of thing. And I don't know if I have mentioned this before. I have to admit it, I do keep up my Cosmo magazines. I had the most eclectic magazine collection anyone could ask for. From all the wine periodicals to Cosmo to Good Housekeeping to Southern Living, you name it, we probably get it at our household. So I was reading through Cosmo as I was sitting on the couch sipping my glass of Chardonnay, or actually my bottle of Chardonnay, Kent. And actually it's not a funnel, it's a straw.
Mm-hmm.
You put the straw in the bottle. And I was reading it, and Cosmo went on to say it was giving ideas for great dates and how to do things inexpensively. And it broke it down into weekend dates in the categories, $30 and less, $10 and less, and free. And under the free category on things to do for the weekend, it said go to a local wine tasting and don't be afraid to ask for samples. And I could not believe a national media actually put this out, as we have tried so diligently to teach you the correct way to do wine tastings. So for all of you Cosmo readers who sat back and read that, don't be afraid to ask for samples, it should clarify a little bit further and say, after you have had your fourth glass and you are not planning on buying anything and you've already dumped your fifth glass on someone's shoes, go away. Don't do that anymore. It's not nice. It's bad manners. Emily Post will be having a heart attack on that one. Well, we're going to take a small break right here. And when we come back, we are going to talk with Charles Smith, the Food and Wine Winemaker of the Year. And for those of you who want to hear my voice while you're listening to commercials, feel free to pop on the internet to winecrush.com. Or for those of you who have your 2 cents worth about where we're going today, please give me an email, lauralawson@winecrush.com. More of The Crush in a moment.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to pack the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now we have an opportunity to truly define the term rockstar winemaker. You hear that bantered around a lot here on The Crush, but today our guest is not only a winemaker of the year, but is a rockstar persona as well. Join us in welcoming Charles Smith, Wine and Food and Wine's Winemaker of the Year for 2009. Charles, welcome to The Wine Crush.
All right, thanks a lot. Great to be here.
It is great to have you here. So you are calling us from Walla Walla, Washington, aren't you?
No, actually, I'm calling you from Bouchon Restaurant in Yountville, California, because they have the awards here at Meadowood Country Club for the American Wine Awards. So I came on a little road trip. We had a 3 days of rain, so it gave me a little window opportunity, and I blew down here to the Bay Area, and I'm here in Yountville. Actually, they're just putting oysters on my table right now for having some lunch. Considering I'm Rockstar of the Year, like Rockstar Winemaker, whatever, as they say, or Winemaker of the Year. So I guess I'm supposed to have some oysters and some champagne for lunch.
Charles, I mean this in the nicest sense. I haven't met you, but I hate you.
The feeling is not mutual, but there's an empty seat for you here. If you can get here in time for lunch, you're welcome to join us.
Well, I appreciate that. Sip a glass of champagne and suck an oyster down for me.
I will. Don't worry.
Well, tell our listeners, number one, let's talk about your wine. Talk to us about Kay. Talk to us about Majestic. Talk to us about everything that you do and what makes you so exceptional.
I think I just lead with my heart and lead with my hands, and I just do it. I don't really think about what I'm doing. I just kind of follow my passion. I make single vineyard wine. pretty much exclusively, exclusively from Cavendish and my high-end Charles Smith wines. And all of my wines have natural yeast, natural secondary fermentation. They're all foot crushed. I mean, I'm making wine in the old world methods, but making new world wine since 1 foot in the history in the past and 1 foot in the present.
Or both feet in your wine.
Yes, that's what I do.
Do you personally stomp on your grapes yourself?
I do.
I like that.
Yeah, you should see it. Come out and see it sometime. If you show up here on Friday, watch me do it because I'll be back home by then.
I wish I could. At least it'd be warm and a little bit better than what we're dealing with here. Well, question.
I heard you don't have such good weather.
No, we're adapting though. We stay indoors and drink a lot.
We can always come out and visit.
Well, I appreciate that. And careful, we may take you up on that. Well, tell us how you go from being a rock star promoter to being a wine person.
Well, I don't know. I just I was living in Copenhagen at the time, and I just didn't want my life to be based on the talents of others. And I decided I'd go spend either spend a year in the United States trying to decide whether I want to settle in the United States or Europe. And on a road trip, I went through Walla Walla, Washington. Met a guy, a current friend of mine, French winemaker, encouraged me to come to Walla Walla. And I saw that as my sign that was what I was supposed to do. So I decided to live in America. So I moved in 1999 from Copenhagen, Denmark to Walla Walla, Washington.
Well, number one, great transition. But when you go and all of a sudden decide to be a winemaker, it sounds like you had some great coaches along the way. But what was your inspiration? What did you want to do better than anybody else?
I wanted to have direct communication and really just didn't be no BS. I wanted to be completely pure and natural as far as like my interpretation. And the idea was, convey the world of wine to all the people who don't necessarily speak wine, because we're not a wine culture as a nation, but everyone loves wine. And, you have to hear this many times, I wouldn't know the difference between a really good bottle or poor bottle of wine. It's like, the fact is, everybody has taste buds. Everybody knows the difference. You put a good bottle in front of somebody and an average bottle, they know the difference. And the idea is, when they don't know the difference, make sure that I can always put a good bottle of wine in front of people. And that was kind of my mission.
Well, you obviously being honored by being Winemaker of the Year. We all know your wines are good. I have enjoyed a bottle of them recently. But your names are so unique. Velvet Devil Merlot, Kung Fu Girl Riesling, K. Tell us about the naming. Tell us where all this comes from.
Well, once again, it comes back to communication. I said, we're not a wine culture as a country. So the idea is, if you're traveling in a foreign nation where you don't speak the language, it really helps if you speak a little bit of the language that, of the place you're visiting. And the same thing, if you really want to communicate the language of wine to people who don't speak wine, use the language that they already have. So, yes. So what I do is I take wines and I name them something that will give you something that you already have in your vocabulary and tell you a little bit about the wine and the name, and then deliver it with really good artwork that says, tasteful, and then deliver something a lot better than you ever expect in the bottle. And then you look at the prize and go, oh, I can't believe that. So the names come up with simply using things that people already possess. I mean, if I give you some obscure name or call it some name like River Sky, Black Sky, River Mountain, you hear all these kind of wineries like that.
Something with a geographical descriptive in it that could be River Road, River Valley, River Rock, River Pond, River.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure there's wineries named all those. And the other thing about it is, or name it something like, my name only, The thing is, it says nothing about the people who are going to drink it. And it says nothing about the wine. So the idea, you want to be all about communication, because what are we without being able to express ourselves and be able to communicate? And so that's what I do with my wine.
I like the way that you do things. I have to admit, you were kind enough and you sent me a bottle. And the bottle was sitting on my desk. And
did you like that one?
I love the wine. And it was even funnier because of the response it got. And because I do live deep, deep, deep in the wine world, we do have our underground burrows. And wine people are walking around me all the time. And everyone kept walking up to my desk and grabbing the bottle you sent me, thinking it was a label misprint. Well, why would they send you a bottle without a front label? Tell our listeners about that wine.
You got a bottle of the boy, right?
I did.
All right, that's cool. Well, the thing is, my K winery, it's all primarily single vineyard Syrah. So there's a K on the front that tells you it's Syrah. Well, this bottle is Grenache, which you would know. By turning around the back, it tells you what the blend is. So once you take the K off the front, it leaves you basically a blank label. So I decided, wow, that's kind of like the Beatles' White album. So I thought I was going to leave this the whole front white. But then I thought to myself, well, I probably shouldn't just do that. Kind of boring. And I guess at the time, I've been listening to this French singer called Serge Gainsbourg, and he has a song where called The Boy, where he sings, I'm the boy who can enjoy invisibility. So simply, you know, like a visible label would be like a watermark, right?
It would be.
And so I named the wine The Boy. And also because I live in a small, you know, and it's Grenache, which is intrinsically really French, you know, like from, you know, from the Rhone. And also I live in a small town, you know, I have big curly hair, always wear sunglasses and big black boots and drive a big black, you know, car and big black motorcycle. And I'm not really that invisible where I live, but I kind of named it kind of for myself because I'm the boy who could enjoy some invisibility where I live. So hence the wine's called The Boy.
I like the way someone will go ahead and transcribe part of their personality into the wine. It makes it, it always makes it better. But for the record, that bottle got more commentary from the strain from people you just died to know about. It was fascinating to see it.
Did you try it yet?
I have tried it. I loved it.
That's a killer. I mean, I know it's my wine. I'm supposed to say it's really good, but that's a really killer bottle of wine.
Well, it's unique because people don't usually anticipate having Grenache out of Washington State. And so when all of a sudden you get your hands on it, you think, well, this is going to be either really, really, really good or really bad. And it was exceptional. I mean, you got the great climate for it. You got the heat. Everything was lovely.
You know, I kind of wine, you know, geek level or winemaking thing. You know, this is grown in dried riverbeds, so all cobblestone. It's biodynamically farmed. There's less than 1.5 ton to the acre, about 1.3 ton to the acre, which is nothing. The spacing is 4x3 between the plants.
Good Lord.
And I age it in neutral French pungens I got from Ray Rostong, who makes wines in Cote Rôti.
Well,
everything that I could do to make that wine the best and foot crushed it is what I could do. So when you get, you know, I make like 300 cases of this wine, there's not a whole lot of it. And I sell wine in 48 states, 9 foreign countries, and I have 6,000 people on my mailing list, and I have a tasting room. So there's not a lot of these wines around. But the idea is I put everything that I have into them because, you know, I have to live with that wine for the rest of my life.
Well, I think
so I only have one chance. So there you go.
I think you have picked very well. Well, congratulations from us at the Wine Crush to you on being Winemaker of the Year. And hopefully we'll give you a call back after you have downed a whole lot more champagne and oysters in your wine career. And we'll see where you are then. Charles, thank you very much for being part of the Crush. And, hey, be warned, we might come visit.
Thank you. I might come visit you. Be warned.
Bring it. Bring it.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
We're going to take a small break right here, but more of the Crush when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, 'cause she can't shoot whiskey.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and after that great segment, we have to remind you I get to use the line, "You heard it here first." Yes, another bonus for Wine Crush listeners. We bring you the winemaker of the year before it's even in print. But we're recovering nicely from last week's show. I enjoyed all the feedback I got from you talking about how much everyone enjoyed the fact we were doing tastings in the studio, and you could hear us banter between a regular consumer and between someone who was in the industry. So I appreciate the feedback. Keep it coming. But something invariably that came up during that, and people have been after me to do this for a while, I want to know what you think. Should I get on Twitter? Do you want to hear me? I guess it's called tweeting. So tweeting and twittering, I'm going to start feeling like a little yellow bird before this is over with. But we would love to know what you think and if you'd be interested in getting tweets from The Crush. Call us 877-427-8741, or you can email me at Laura Lawson, LauraLawson at winecrush.com. Or as always, you can join our group on Facebook, which is, of course, The Wine Crush. Let us know what you're thinking and what we can do to help you.
Why are you thinking about tweeting?
Because so many people were excited about how we were doing things as far as tasting and getting people's impression. And I think people have listened long enough, perhaps you have been beeping me for a while, to want to know what I really thought and not just what we publicly put on the air.
Okay.
Fair enough?
That's fair enough.
Yeah,
Don't put things on there like, I'm going to the bathroom now. I'm going to park in my car.
No. It's going to be more like, who the hell came up with this wine and why do they think it was drinkable?
All right. That sounds good. That sounds fine.
For the love of God, did they really put a cork in this? Or should they put a cork in that? We'll figure that out. Anyway, that's what we're thinking here at The Crush. And I know it's dangerous when we think, but that's where we are. Hey, I've got an interesting article. This comes out of decanter.com. And leave it to the Brits to come up with this. Wine drinkers in favor of lower alcohol levels. Nearly half of UK wine drinkers said they would buy a wine with an alcohol level of just 9%, provided the taste is not compromised, a new survey has revealed. 42% of the wine drinkers surveyed said they would definitely buy a 9% wine and actually are advocating wines with lower alcohol. Now, to me, this is a double-edged sword, and this is probably because I live and breathe wine. But there have been many days when I've had to do tastings and do events that I have wished that wine had no alcohol in it, that Chardonnay was just a beverage, and that the more I drank, the more I wasn't going to get intoxicated. Now, however, on the flip side of that, the more tastings and the more events I've done, I have wished many a time that wine had the actual percentage, say, of liquor. So it's one of those mid-ground. What do y'all think? 877-4-CRUSH-1. Call us. Let us know what the United States thinks about wines with less alcohol.
Are there wines out there with less, very little alcohol?
There are. White Zinfandels and a lot of Rieslings have less than 10%. But as a whole, American wines run between 12 and 15%, with a lot of the big, flashy, expensive wines running 14 or 15%. Hmm. So there is a big difference in the alcohol percentage. But does that change how we drink? Does that change what we buy? I have to admit, I have stayed away from some red Zinfandels that came in at 18% because I just didn't think I wanted to deal with my head the next morning. And yes, that is because of the alcohol, not because of the sulfites, for those of you who are about to ask that question. But no, it'd be interesting to know what people think. I do know that there are many, many mornings where I wish that my Chardonnay had come in at 4%. So we shall see. All right, believe it or not, the show is all about you, and we do occasionally take your input. Not that we did last week, but we will this week. I have an email from Kaylin in New York. Isn't by asking your guest host what they thought of the wine kind of like telling us what to drink? Well, Kaylin, no, it's not. I'm not telling you you have to go buy it. I'm just telling you what we're recommending. And around here, we do make sure. Drink what you like, not what you're told. I can recommend all day long. It's not like I'm standing up on 2 feet saying, you have to go buy this. So use our wit and our recommendation to your best advantage. If you don't like what we recommend, don't drink it. Okay, Kaylin? Does that make sense? Good for you. Moving on. This is from Henry in Austin. Henry writes, I recently went to an upscale bar and they were mixing energy drinks with wine and champagne. Why is that? And what is your impression on that? My first impression, if you're mixing energy drinks with wine, switch to vodka. Go ahead, just make the step up and don't drink your wine. Now, I will admit this. In the last 3 weeks, I had the opportunity to try something called a Korbel. And what it was Korbel Brut Champagne out of California mixed with Red Bull. Both of them are very easy drinking beverages. Both of them have a place in daily life. When you put them together, though, it did give a nice flavor profile. Red Bull's not overly carbonated, Korbel is, and it gave it a little bit of balance to it. But ultimately, I think if you're going out to drink wine, stick with the wine. I don't know about all of our fellow Red Bull drinkers out there. I know that when I finished those two champagne cocktails, I felt the need to run around the block. It's not really good when you're mixing that with alcohol, so then you'll stagger around the block. But, Henry, I think there is a place for it. I know we're going to see more and more of these interesting cocktails out there as the holiday progresses and energy drinks take off. So it never hurts to try them. Like I said, champagne mixed with them, Prosecco, sparkly, bubbly, fruity things, definitely a yes. Medina Chardonnay from Nickel and Red Bull, probably a no. So use your best judgment on that. Call in. Let us know what you think. 877-427-8741. All right. We have another email. This is from Caroline in Greenville. Caroline writes, I just found a great way to taste wine. At my local wine shop every Thursday at 2 o'clock, the wine wholesalers bring in their wine to taste with the owner. The owner invited me to taste. I learned a lot. How come the wine trade does not do that more often? Caroline, I'm not really sure of your question, but my guess is why you're asking why wholesalers don't go out and sample the public that often. 18 answers to that question post to mine, and Kent better get ready to hit bleep 10 times to get through that. But past that, I think, Caroline, if you look in your local newspaper, if you look in your local Creative Loafing or whatever is all your entertainment ET in your city, you will find that, believe it or not, when you read about wine tastings at local wine shops, when you read about cooking classes at restaurants, when you read about charity events, jazz events, music events, and they say wine tasting, 9 out of 10 times it is going to be your local wholesalers that are pouring the wine and teaching you about it. And indeed, most wholesalers are a great resource to teach you what you need to know about wine. Now, the situation you're talking about when you walked into the store and had all the sales reps queued up, I'm sure every sales rep there just cringed at the thought of some little consumer coming in and trying to tell the owner what was good and what wasn't. But keep your chin up. Keep going back. I think it's great for everyday wine court dorks to get face-to-face with the public. It brings them down about 10 notches and also teaches everybody a little bit from what they were involved in. So definitely, Caroline, give that a shot. Well, we're going to take a small break right now, but remember, the show is about you, so reach out to us, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or call us 877-427-8741 and drop a question on the wine line. All right, I'm going to take a breath and take a beat, and we are going to have David Honig, the publisher of Palette Press, when we return.
We've got more Wine Crush coming up in a moment.
He took me to the Spotty Club at Hollywood and Vine. We drank champagne.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that for minutes is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva. And right now, we are going to go media to media, and we are going to welcome David Honig, the founder of Palette Press, to the Wine Crush. Palette Press was designed to help wine lovers find the very best content the internet has to offer. David, welcome to the Crush.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Oh, it's nice to have you. It's always fun to have fellow people from the media on. It gives me a good benchmark and a good outlet. So tell our listeners about Palette Press. How does it benefit them, and what are they going to gain from it?
Palette Press is an experiment in the next generation of blogging. That's how we've always described it. What we have done is we have collected the very best wine writers we could find, whether they're from print or the internet, and run them through very good editors and then publish them on a schedule so that we don't get the blog roll that you get with a blog aggregator, but you get excellent writing. And what we strive to have is quality content.
When you look
and
for
that's what your readers will get.
When you look for quality content, do you mean quality as far as I've read so much stuff on the internet that is blatantly incorrect, or are you making thought-provoking media?
We want it to be correct, we want it to be thought-provoking, and we want it to be well-written.
Well-written does help. I've noticed that people in the wine business cannot spell or punctuate. I have to admit, I'm one of those people, which is why I'm on radio.
Well, one of the things about any kind of written media is the person behind the scene, which is the editor. Editors make everybody look smarter. And that's what's missing from much of the modern blog media, including when each of us writes on our own blogs. Editors make us better.
Oh, they would have to. I know that a producer is supposed to make me better in radio, so someone who could look over my shoulder when I've had two glasses of Chardonnay trying to post my blog, invariably it would help. It would certainly make more sense to everybody out there. Question for you. How did you choose your writers? How did you garner these people and ask them to be part of Palette Press?
I chose some of them, and some of them chose me. I've been blogging for a while. I've been doing my own little wine blog and have gotten to know a lot of the people who write. And I looked at the writing, and I looked at people who not only write well, but seem to know what they're writing about. And I asked them if they would like to participate. As word got around, some people approached either myself or Tish, W.R. Tish, our editor-in-chief, and asked if they could write. And so that's where we got our steady group of writers. But we're not limited to that.
So you have guest writers from time to time?
We accept submissions from absolutely anybody, and we review it, because there's great content out there for anybody. If somebody is interested in writing a story, we just ask them that they send us a title, a lead, a sentence or two of explanation, and if it's something that we're interested in carrying, we'll ask them to write it.
Now, when you get your writers together, are you looking at people who are evaluating, they're making wine recommendations? Are they talking about the state of the grape? Are they talking about harvest? What aspects are you covering?
We are covering every aspect that we think anybody interested in wine would be interested in. We have really just started posting wine reviews because we wanted to take some time and make sure we get them right. But we've written about, we're in the middle of a two-day series about wine apps for iPhones.
Oh, okay.
We've done editorials, things that are certain to be thought-provoking. We'll be running a story tomorrow, Think Pink in October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, highlighting rosé. So we've run almost everything. If it's interesting to us as wine lovers, we think it will be interesting to you as wine readers.
I like the way you think on that. Now, when you talk about us as wine lovers and wine readers, is there a certain demographic you are catering to? Are you looking for the neophyte wine drinker, or are you looking for the aficionado?
I think that we're looking for mostly people in between, but we invite everybody. The neophytes have tremendous amount, not only to learn, but to contribute as well, because they come at all of this with a point of view that if we've been in it for a little while, we lose track of sometimes.
Are you saying we're jaded?
No, I'm saying that sometimes there's a forest and there are trees and we're not sure which one is which.
I'm usually beating my head against a tree. It's easy to find. Well, I think this is a great addition. You talk about the next generation of the business. So if this is the next step, where do you see the business in 5 years?
The wine blogging business or
yes.
The wine media business?
Either one. Seems like they're going to be interchangeable before it's all said and done.
I think they're going to meet in the middle, because I think there's always going to be print media for a while. There's a generation coming that will never, ever in their life pay for content. I just think that's a fact, and we have to sort of get used to it.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a way around that. Well, for our listeners who are listening right now, where can they go find Palette Press?
PaletteProps.com, P-A-L-A-T-E, because there are so many ways to spell palette with so many meanings, but PaletteProps.com.
And for our listeners, the link will be on the Wine Crush website, so if you're on the Crush website and want to pop over there and get an experience with all of their writers, I definitely think you should. David, when you actually sit down and you put Palette Press together, what was your one motivating thought?
Quality content.
Quality content. So you want to be, in essence, the Bing of wine?
I want to be, yes, or I want somebody to ask someone in a year, so you want to be the Palette Press of something else.
I like the way you think. Well, David, thanks for taking time from your busy schedule to be part of the Wine Crush, and I know that I will be checking out Palette Press on a regular basis, and I encourage my listeners to do the same.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we are going to have to take a small break right now, but when we return, we're going to wrap all this up, give you some great insights, and who knows, I may even have to editorialize myself. We'll be more back with the Crush in a few.
The Wine Crush.
See, this earth has been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land, and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things!
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky.
You've been listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Loss and your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and we are winding down yet another story on the vine. But looking back over today's show, a special thank you to Charles Smith and to David Honig. Charles, of course, Food and Wine's Winemaker of the Year for 2009. David Honig, the founder and starter of publisher Palette Press. And I think we've had a very interesting show, and I love it when I have a few moments to try and tie this all together. But I'm going to do 180 degrees on you, so I'm going to remind you the phone number for the crush is 877-427-8741, and my personal email is lauralawson@winecrush.com. When you look ahead and you look back on what we talked about today, we talked with Charles Smith. He talked about baselines. He talked about speaking the people's language when it came to wine. When we talked with David at Palette Press, he talked about quality writing and quality wine with all the topics covered. And even Miss Caroline in Greenville, when she called in about drinking with wholesalers and how much she enjoyed it. You look at all these different angles and all these aspects we have today. You look at all the different ways we have to access wine. We have critter labels. We have geranimals that are color-coded on these labels. We have books called Wine for Dummies Red and Wine for Dummies White. We have Wine 101. We have a book called Why Not? There's 1,000 websites and 1,000 blogs. You can be tweeted, you can be blogged, you can be potting, and at any point you can find out more about wine. When you put all this together, though, I've got to ask, after 25 years in the business, have we killed the mystery of wine? Have we killed that wonderful mystique that surrounds the beverage and makes dinner and lunch and events a little sweeter and a little more dynamic? By knowing everything about a subject, have we beat it into submission and beat it into the ground to the point where we don't enjoy it anymore? Somewhere along the way, it seems like we have made a task out of learning about this fine, graceful beverage, and we feel like we have to know every nuance, every aspect, every dimension there is about what's going into the glass. And I say at some point, enough is enough. If you get to the point where all of a sudden you can instantly know the pH, you can know the dirt, you can know the soil, you can know the winemaker, and you're not in the wine business, perhaps you have taken this to a great extent and you have taken it too far. With all the mystery that surrounds wine and all the enjoyment and all the glamour that's supposed to be involved in it, I do want to remind everybody that whether you're blogging, you're reading, you're on the internet for hours, when you're doing your research and taking your test and reading your studies, I want to remind you about the most important thing. Everybody needs a little mystery in life. I know I need a lot of mystery in my life to make myself happy. So ultimately, people, remember, what is wine? Why, Virginia, actually, it's magic. I'm Laura Lawson. You've been listening to The Wine Crush. We remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.